So you heard me use the phrase smooth and easy for hour number one. You know what would make it even smoother, even easier? A couple of really good telephone calls. All right, so I understand that we had an interview, so go ahead, hit me up right now. We are wide open until 1040, 1-800-636-8686. That is your telephone number. You know where to find me also on social, on X at Jim Rome. And by the way, shoot on over to my Instagram feed too, at Jim Rome as well. This guy writes, this is Chris in Milwaukee. Jimmy, are you saying that Ham should intentionally choke? How the tables have turned. Yours, Mom Cass. All right, first of all, it's Mama. Your mom. Anyway, Haunted 00 Horse, Jim. Ding! Alvy going Garrett Ritt during an interview. Maybe Ben just mentioned one of Alvin's prize pick choices. I don't even know, even now, I don't even know why I got that dang Alvy.
But on the Lakers side, they've got all the momentum late season. LeBron really cranked it up on Sunday, moving the ball all over the place masterfully.
I got you. Like there was Steph a crank
Curry.
Reference.
You hate to bet against him in sort of a game seven type.
I stand corrected. And that's what my apologies, like Alvy.
So I think the Lakers are going to.
That's good stuff.
All right, Ben. So never
that's
mind
good stuff. If a interviewee references a crank, Alvin's got to count it. Alvin's got to acknowledge it. He's got to count it.
Alvy, what was that?
I didn't know. Hi, Jim. Alvy hitting Ben Golliver with that ding is simply a jungle Tourette's tick. Some days, those with the JT infliction will be triggered more than others. Alvy is having an extreme trigger day. Signed, Dr. Eric in Southside. That's not what that is. That's not what that is. That was an acknowledgement that he said crank.
Crank, crank.
All right, with that in mind, none of you are making it better. Certainly not on social, and certainly not on the phones. So I'm just going to keep doing what I do. In the meantime, I'm going to ask you to do better than you're currently doing. Let's move on to the NFL for a minute. Now, you know one of the rules around here. I don't have many rules around here. I don't ask very much of you. One of the few things that I do have a rule about, and one of the few things that I do ask of you, is that you not make personal appearance show fodder. I mean, I would think for pretty obvious reasons, right? Let's not make fun of what people look like. You know why? In most cases, they have no say or no choice in what they look like. You know why else? We're not on the playground. We're not in third grade. Personal appearance is not show fodder. So that's always been a rule of the program. Well, post the Rat Fam. Obviously, it was not a rule when we had the Rat Fam back in the day. I had a whole family of humans that looked like rats. Obviously, personal appearance was show fodder back then. Don't believe me? Ask Corey Pavin. Anyway, that was then, and this is now. Appearance was show fodder.
Rat poison.
Right. So that's a show rule. Personal appearance, not show fodder. However, it is not a rule that extends to social media, obviously. In fact, on social media, personal appearance is basically the main fodder. Personal appearance is the best fodder, especially when you have that one wild image that jumps out from your timeline and starts going viral and just keeps getting reposted and reposted. You know, the multiplier effect. That snowball is rolling downhill and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the thing about that game is it happens every single day. Every single day on social, that happens. Unfortunately for Daniel Jones, it happened to him. He provided the internet with exactly that kind of image yesterday. And of course, the internet did what it does and had an absolute field day. Now, personally, again, I think that's unfair. You know, frankly, I think it's kind of cheap. And I think it's lazy. Now, yes, he did show up to a presser with his eyes bugging out yesterday. That I cannot deny. Yes, he looked like he had invisible clamps holding his eyes pried open. Like, he looked like that dude back in the day in Clockwork Orange. just without that crazy metal contraption. Like somehow his eyes were just naturally pried open, which is somehow even freakier, right? Or maybe he had like invisible toothpicks. Maybe he was channeling or paying tribute to the OG himself, the dude who made it fashionable to be all bug-eyed and crap. Adam Gase. Who will ever forget eyes? There's a reason why the guy was glossed eyes. Adam Gase. And notice eyes never got another gig. Probably because he never blinked. Anyway, personally, while I'm here to acknowledge it, I'm not here to bury the guy for it. Because again, while the internet had a field day with it, here, that would be considered personal appearance smack. And I don't need to talk about the dude's appearance to talk about the Giants football. Can I repeat that? This is the difference between me and a lot of you. I do not need to talk about this guy's appearance in order to talk about Giants football. There's a lot to say about Danny Bug Eyes without crushing him for his eyes bugging out of his dome. What exactly is the dude supposed to do anyway about his giant bugging eyeballs? Like, I know y'all had your fun on the X. I know everybody was saying that Danny was just doing his best Adam Gase or doing a Rashe Caldwell in the Super Bowl. R.I.P.R. They were just glossing him, Danny, deer in the headlights. I mean, the whole thing was kind of brutal and kind of silly and kind of lame. But again, I'm not here to pile on any of that, much less all of that. It's just not fair to hit Danny turnovers for his bizarre, giant, bulging eyeballs. However, it is totally fair to hit Danny turnovers for being Danny turnovers, especially since it created a giant headache for the G pupils. G-men. And how they're supposed to proceed in the offseason. You see, Danny fumbles and interceptions and eventually one day glaucoma. Danny INT is still confident, though. Do not let those sketchy eyes bugging out of his head fool you. Danny thinks that he is still the best quarterback for the Giants. He said it himself while his eyes were popping out of his noggin yesterday.
If you feel, if you're healthy, you know, this summer in training camp, which you hope to be, and going on into the season, you feel you're the best quarterback that the Giants can have to start their season with?
I do, yes.
Wow. I do, yes. Not only is that so convincing, yo, dude, dude, give me some space. Stop invading my personal space, man. Get out of my grill. Yes, I do. Dude, you better feel that way. You better feel like you're their best option. Considering they're about to chip you off $35.5 million, they're not giving you that bag because your eyes are bugging the hell out of your head. This dude has the third highest base salary in the NFL this season. He's 10th in the NFL in total cash coming his direction for 2024. This dude's going to make more money this year than Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott. So yes, he better be their best option. And also, what else is the guy supposed to say? How is Danny Bug Eyes supposed to answer the question, do you feel like you're the best quarterback the Giants can have to start the season? I mean, it's even amazing that somebody would even ask him that question. Like, it's a legitimate question. I don't know what's more amazing, that it's a legitimate question or that it's a legitimate question. Because it's a legitimate question, despite the fact that he's going to make $35.5 million. But then again, what is his answer supposed to be? And let's not get into that just yet. Or maybe, you know, I'm really into this Drake May kid. If he's around at 6, I got to say, as much as I love to ball and as big as my eyes are, I got to grab that guy at 6. I got to take Drake May at 6. In fact, I have to take him and I have to start him. I mean, honestly, guys, have you seen me play? I know my eyes are scaring the hell out of you right now, but remember my quarterbacking. Now, that's really terrifying. Hey, Danny, are you the best QB the Giants can have to start the season? Actually, no, man, I don't think so. I think right about now, I'm probably the third best option we have. I mean, who wouldn't want to see Drew Locke get a real shot? And if not Drew, then how do you not let Tommy Cutlets start? At least Tommy Cutlets is fun. If we're going to get our asses kicked, and we probably will, wouldn't it be way more entertaining to do it with T. Cutlets than my boring, vanilla, bug-eyed ass? I mean, obviously, there's no other way for Danny Deer in the headlights to answer that question. But that doesn't mean that it's not an interesting question, at least for the Giants overall. As is the question, what do you do with that sixth pick? Eyes aside, because personal appearance is not show fodder. Honestly, what do the Giants do with that sixth pick? You could take a quarterback, but it's also possible that the top four quarterbacks might be gone by then. But if you pass on the chance to take a quarterback, and if a quarterback does not fall to you at six, then where does that leave you? And you can't move up. Then you're looking at running back Danny Gase for $30 million plus yet again, which does not exactly seem like a very good plan. In fact, it sounds like a bad plan. It sounds like a terrible plan. Even Danny Caldwell would admit that that's a bad plan. One bonus thought on Daniel Gase. And remember, personal appearances are not show fodder. I'm not having that. But tell me this dude doesn't look like a bug-eyed Jim Carrey. Tell me he doesn't, and I will tell you to open up your freaking eyes as wide as Daniel Carey's eyes. You see, there's plenty to say about Daniel Deer in the headlights and the Giants besides ripping this dude for his crazy eyes at a press conference. And I just proved it. I proved I'm not about the low-hanging fruit, that I can actually talk football as opposed to just how a person looks. So save your personal appearance smack emails and ex posts with more nicknames. Just save it. If you have a take on the Giants and what they should do about their quarterback situation and what they should do with that sixth pick, you know where to find me. I'm here for that. I'm here for that, but not all that other crap. I don't know. The one thing I would say about that guy, you'd think with eyes like that, this dude would see the field better than he does. You'd think he'd have better vision than he does. How can the guy ever miss a read with eyes that are that wide ass opened? How could he ever miss anything? It'd be impossible for any D coordinator, even the best, to disguise any coverage or any kind of exotic blitz scheme when you got a quarterback who's standing in the pocket with his eyes that wide-assed open. There's no way that guy would miss anything. There's no such thing as a blind side. There's a left side. There's a right side. There's just sides. The guy would not miss anything. Boy, you want to talk about peripheral vision. My man could probably see from there to California. And you're only asking him to read a secondary? To look at the front seven? To stay within the confines of the stadium? With eyes like that? That dude's got x-ray vision. That dude can see the next week's opponent with those eyes. He can see into the future with eyes like that. Come on. It says, since you left CBS Sports Network, and before that radio in Los Angeles, I've been listening to you on my phone on the Odyssey website. Now for the last several days when I go to Odyssey, it says, something went wrong, try again. Charlie in LA. All right, some of that is true, and some of that is not. But my man, hey Chuck, I want you to help him out here. Some of that is true and some of that is not. But Charlie, first of all, big ups to you, my man, for not giving up the first sign of adversity like some other people. We've had longtime listeners that when our affiliations changed and then ultimately went away in Los Angeles, I thought they died. I felt so badly. I'm like, wow, Terrence is dead. And Terrence, when I finally find him 10 years later, Terrence is like, no, I'm fine, Rome. You just don't have an LA affiliate. I'm like, wow, bro. There are other ways to access the product. Anyway, Chalk, you're really good like this. Let me read this one more time. Since you left the CBS Sports Network and before that radio in LA, I've been listening to you on my phone on the Odyssey website. Now, for the last several days, when I go to Odyssey, it says, quote, something went wrong. Try again. Charlie in LA. What is your response to that?
So I've gotten this a couple times today, actually, and we are absolutely still streaming on the Odyssey website and the Odyssey app. You just need to search Infinity Sports Network. We are only no longer Infinity CBS Sports Radio. Network. We are the Infinity Sports Network, so that's where you're going to find the stream, but we are absolutely still live in both places right now.
All right, repeat that one more time, please, because that is a little confusing to some.
Infinity Sports Network is now the home of the radio home of the show, so if you want to find it on the Odyssey app, you need to search for Infinity Sports Network. If you're using the old link for the old CBS Sports Radio branding, you're going to have a problem. So once again, Infinity Sports Network, that's how you find the stream, and we are indeed still streaming.
EP, Chalk, Columbia Man, thank you very much, Tommy.
On the Infinity
Honestly,
Sports
Charlie,
Network.
Ed Al, we are sorry for the inconvenience. I know that's confusing. But as I mentioned, when this first came up, this changes nothing. This changes nothing about the radio show. This changes nothing about the impending launch on the X platform. This changes nothing about the Jim Rome podcast. This changes nothing about the Reinvention Project podcast. This changes nothing about the daily podcasts. Just the name, just the branding. It changes nothing about the show. So if you have any questions or you have further questions, again, sorry about the inconvenience, but we are here to help. We're here to answer your questions. Charlie, my man, thanks for being loyal. Thanks for giving it your best shot. No, I mean that sincerely. Because I think some people, especially some people who've been around a long time that are not so tech savvy, they're like, I give up. Don't give up. There are so many different ways to access the content. Hey, Jim, if your voice is healthy, do you believe that you are the best radio man to host the show? Signed, New York Media, dumbass. Vince in Illinois.
Dumbass.
I mean, right. It's funny. It's not a good question at all, but it's actually an interesting question. I mean, yes, I suppose. Given the depth chart, he is. Given his paycheck, he better be. But how is the guy supposed to answer the question?
You hope to be, and going on into the season, you feel you're the best quarterback that the Giants can have.
Yeah, no, I think actually Drew Locke would be better. Yes. But if they want to start me, I'll just do my job. Vince in Illinois weighed in with that. And one more. Apple Pasta writes, Dear Jim, the Bucks will be without Giannis in the first round. Never fear, Buck fans. Playoff Doc Rivers will figure it out. Yours, Sixers and Clippers fans.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, the one positive, and again, I'm trying to find a positive in everything. At least this time, you will not blow a 3-1 lead. At least this time, Doc will not blow a 3-1 lead or a 3-2 lead. You know how I know that? You can't blow a 3-1 lead unless you have a 3-1 lead, and they're not going to have a 3-1 lead against Indiana, and especially without Giannis to start that series. So you have that going for you, Doc. Which is nice. At Avix Randall writes, Leave Danny's eyes alone. They look normal to me. Signed, Tori Spelling. If personal appearance were in fact show fodder, I would allow that. But it's not. So I won't. Dave in Pismo Beach. Daniel Jones looks very natural. Regards, Marty Feldman. Once again, if bug-eyed kooks was show fodder, I would allow that. But it's not. All right, on that note, with all these bad eye jokes coming in, we're going to take a short time out. When I say, can you make it better, none of this is making it better. You're bringing me down, and that's hard to do. 1-800-636-8686. Try harder. Do better. In the meantime, I've got a quick question for you. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Why don't we start with the fact that it's a family business, which is behind it. A family which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic, and it is iconic, their iconic Clearview Ionic packages, or Ionic, if you will. They do that because they want you to see exactly what it is you're buying. And then once you crack open that package, every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And it comes in four exceptional flavors. They're all amazing. Make sure you try every single one of them if you have not already. They set that up for you, too, with four-ounce bags. That way you can sample all four. If you already know and you're not new to this game, you want that 18-ouncer, grab it. That way you've got enough for everybody. If for some reason you don't see it, and trust me, it's Old Trapper, you will see it. But if you don't, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Listen, I know that it's not easy to call a legacy nationally syndicated radio program heard nationwide and in Canada with so many people listening. I know that's not an easy thing to do, so I give people credit whenever they do it because it doesn't always go well. Somebody did it yesterday, caught a little heat for it, and I give him credit for it. But he wants to call back and has to set people straight, which I also respect. And I'll have that for you in a moment. Wait on that. In the meantime, you've got your phone number. Let me just share this thought with you for a minute. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you want to feel your very best, right? You want to feel good. You want to feel good because if you feel good, it pretty much affects everything else, right? Relief Factor knows this. Relief Factor is a new partner of ours on the program. And it's a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. It is 100% drug-free. That much I love about it. 100% drug-free, and Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Also very smart. I appreciate that. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. You see, I mean, this is checking all the boxes. For instance, I was sent Relief Factor. They wanted me to try it first, which I did. And I've been taking it every single day since. I'm telling you, I can feel the difference. In fact, over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Why don't you give it a try for yourself? Visit ReliefFactor.com or call this number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Relief Factor. All right, so I mentioned yesterday I got a phone call, and the caller seemed a little nervous, was breathing rather heavily, but got through the phone call. In case you missed it, because I know that some of you do listen to every single minute of every single show, but many of you don't. In case you missed it, my guy Tony from Phoenix called up yesterday and sounded like this. First stop today, we go to Phoenix. Tony, what's going on, Tony? How are you?
Rome, I've been waiting 20 years to say this. You came up to me, you said, what's up? It was one of the greatest moments of my life. So thanks for the vine. Now that I got that out of the way, first thing, I know I'm running here, Rome. Tiger, watching him pace out on that course was incredible. Was that Tiger's wood leg? I couldn't believe it, Rome.
All right, so my man Tony sounded out of breath. Now, he did say, that thing's aging pretty well, actually. He did say, I'm running, Rome. I'm running. Nobody bought it after the fact.
Tiger.
And he caught some. So, Tony is calling back right now, presumably to clap back on those that took a run at him. And remember what I said yesterday. I'm like, all of you that are taking a run at this guy, at least he had the stones to pick up the phone and lob me a telephone call. Where are you? Man, just laying in the weeds, looking to crack on somebody who did something that you yourselves won't do. Let's go to Phoenix quickly. Tony, my man. Tony, what's going on?
Damn, Rome. After that introduction, I don't know what I'm going to do. First off, a quick reaction on Daniel the Chameleon. We'll just stop talking about him and let him disappear off with those little giants. Second, that jungle crack was good yesterday, Rome. I ain't going to lie. That's why I'm back today, homie, and I'm here to set everybody straight. It might sound like I'm a little breathing hard again. That's because I work, homie, like everybody else out here in paradise. I'm out here grinding. I got a little time to make a phone call here and there, so I'm going to try to lobby it out, like you said. Now, for those clones, those ones in the email, this one's for you, clones. You better get back into that scum goal that you call a hole. All you want to do is call out people with holes. That's anything that gets you from 6 to midnight. Well, guess what, clones? There's one thing that I can bet you for sure. In honor of it being Jackie Robinson yesterday, here's a little take for you. I bet you Jim Rome one UCR degree in bamboozling. How about that, Rome? Would you like that? You know how you'd get that, Rome?
Talk to me, Tony.
Once I'm done with this phone call, I'll tell you. So these guys, they get there. They swiftly go to their little keyboards, like the keyboard jockeys that they are. But you know what, Rome? I bet you that I'm in their mind in that moment, Rome. They're writing an email about who? About me. And guess what, clones? I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to be here. I'm going to stay. I'm going to fight. Like you told everybody yesterday, Jim Rome. You told them, yo, why don't you come in here into the center of the smack-the-gon and tell this fool what's up? Well, I'm back, and I'm ready. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, like Max Holloway did. Finally, Rome, I want to give a shout-out. It's a shout-out. War Dan Hurley for making me believe, like he went back-to-back. A little guy out in Phoenix who was born and raised in Paramount, California, could hopefully one day go rack to rack. I'm out.
My man. How about that? You want to talk about reps? Reps, yo. You just need reps. Is that the same dude? Have some, clones. Hey, clones. Tell him how his ass tastes. How about that? Love it. My man. Tony in Phoenix clapping back. He is living rent-free in all of your heads. Rack him, Alvy. Nice job, Tony.
Rack
appreciate
him.
You. Way to go. That's how you handle your business. The Smactagon. Why don't you come in and get some and get them hands from the Smactagon? Meet Tony in the middle of the Smactagon. Hey, clones, he'll meet you in Temecula, yo. I like it, Tony. Good job. That's how you handle your business. When we come back, reaction clones. If I were you, why don't you go? Why don't you drive and head towards Temecula and wait for Tony? He'll be there. He'll take all of you on. Derek Shelton joins me next. He's the manager of the Pirates. Get on the phone. Get up in here. Essentially, do whatever you want. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk more about the Bucks and the Pacers. Speaking of the Octagon, I've got more thoughts on UFC 300 than I want to get to. First up, though, here's a sports update. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are live. We are in Southern California. And our phone lines are wide open. More telephone calls coming up in a moment. But right now, we are talking Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. We're joined by the manager of the Pirates. He is in his fifth season as the Pirates skipper. He previously served as coach for the Guardians, the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Twins. Pittsburgh is out quickly. They're 11-6. They're in New York to play the Mets tonight. We are joined by their manager, Derek Shelton. Derek, it is great to have you back on. How are you?
Jim, good to be back, man. Always enjoy talking to you.
You too. Appreciate it very much, Derek. Thanks so much. So for the second straight year, your team is out quickly. You've won 11 of your first 17. Looking at things so far, what are you most pleased with when you look at your team and its great start?
I think full contribution from our group. I mean, 26 guys, 27, 28. You know, we have some guys on the IL now, but everybody has contributed, which I think in the early going has been really important for us to get off to the start.
You know, Derek, you and I spoke in mid-April last year, and you went 20-9 that month. Ultimately, you finished up with 76 wins. Given how many young guys you have and what they learned last year, is there any doubt in your mind that they're ready to take that next step and compete for a postseason berth?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. We got off to a quick start last year, you know, and then we had some struggles with some of our younger guys. The fact that they are a year older and they have those reps. And then just as importantly, we've added veteran guys into that group. Guys that have been on the field in playoff games, in competition, in playoff hunts, which was really important for us, you know, kind of stabilizing our young core.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton joining us, you know, in terms of that kind of veteran leadership, obviously. I mean, baseball can be such an unforgiving and humbling sport, but then that said, you've got Andrew McCutchen, and him coming back a year ago was such a feel-good story. So what was it like for you to see him hit his 300th career home run on Sunday, and then how much of a stabilizing presence is he?
Well, I'll go to the second part first. He is a stabilizing presence. I mean, and I think as we talked about a little bit last year, a lot of the young guys in our clubhouse, you know, look at Kutch as the Pirates because they grew up watching him play. And that's not to say that Kutch is old. That's just to say that we have a bunch of young kids that watched, you know, 13, 14, 15 when you know, Kutch was doing his thing, winning an MVP. So yeah, he has a stabilizing presence in our clubhouse. And then the first point, him hitting 300, was extremely emotional for all of us. I think really kind of going off the other point is because of how much he means to this club, to our community, you know, and even to baseball. I mean, Kutch is good for baseball. And the fact that he was at 299 and then got hurt last year and almost had to sit for 6 months on it, and I do think it was providing a little bit of anxiety for him, you know, never having been in a milestone moment like that, but, you know, wanting to get to it. And I think he even said after he got to it, it was like almost a sense of relief. But it was really cool to see because he had two balls earlier in the year that hit the top of the fence, one in Washington, one in Pittsburgh. So it was nice to see, you know, one actually get over.
Yeah, it's so well explained by you. It's gut-wrenching. Can you imagine he was sitting on 299 for 6 months, finally comes all the way back, and then has a couple at the top of the fence, and then finally gets one over? Derek Shelton joining us. I mean, that's got to be gut-wrenching. Then you've got your shortstop, O'Neal Cruz, and he was limited to only 9 games last season after he fractured his leg in April. Obviously a devastating blow given how unique a player he is. How has he looked to you so far this season, and then how critical has he been to the team's start, both with his bat and his glove?
Well, I think he is very critical. You know, one of the things we're seeing right now is some of that rust showing with not having played for a full year. And we know we're going to go through stretches, you know, where O'Neal looks really good and we're going to go through some stretches where he struggles. We have to find that common balance of consistency. And really that's what we're searching for right now, looking for. And a lot of that just comes from having played only 9 games last year. I mean, it's really hard for a major league player to miss an entire season of at-bats and pick up where he left off. So the consistency portion is something that we're continuing to focus on. But, I mean, this is one of the more young, talented players in the game.
No doubt. Exciting young player. Derek Shelton joining us. Obviously, it's going to start with pitching, right? You've got an ace in Mitch Keller. How excited were you to see the team lock him up to a new 5-year extension? And then how much does he set the tone for the entire rotation?
Well, I think he definitely sets the tone for the rotation. I mean, even going to, you know, Sunday's game where he goes head-to-head with Zach Wheeler, who, you know, obviously is a number one and one of the best pitchers in baseball, and goes 7 strong innings. I just love the commitment from our ownership group with our young core players, whether it's Hayes or Reynolds and now Keller, of like, all right, these are the guys that we want to build around. These are the guys that we want here, and we're going to commit to these guys. You know, we're going to commit to making sure that they're Pirates, and it was very important because we had Brian and Key Brian on the offensive side of the ball that we had committed to, and it was really important for us to get, you know, Mitch done and know that he's going to be here stabilizing our rotation.
You know, Derek, speaking of the rotation, I had a conversation with Terry Francona last week, who is enjoying his first season away from the dugout. I asked him what he thought the reason was for the wave of injuries the pitchers are suffering to start the season. His take was, one of the things he pointed out, was how hard young pitchers are throwing before they get to the bigs and the pressure they may be putting on their elbow by how they grip the ball with the current emphasis on spin rate. Do you have any theories as to why we've seen so many injuries this early in the year to pitchers?
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing to pinpoint, but I'm going to agree with Tito here. I don't think this is just a problem that's a major league problem. I think this is a problem that goes all the way down to youth baseball with the fact of the amount that guys throw, as hard as they throw, the emphasis on spin rate, the emphasis on kids playing year-round instead of playing other sports. So now there's stress on that. You know, I mean, when you and I grew up, and I'm not saying we're old, but like you played.
Oh, I am. I am, Skip.
I am too. You played seasonal. You know, you played football or basketball or wrestled or did whatever. Now kids play this year round. There's so much stress even before they get into college professional ranks. So I think the reason we're seeing these is more, you know, throughout the game than just specific to professional baseball. So I would definitely agree with Tito in that respect.
No, I think you're right. Like, I'm here in California, and both our kids played baseball exclusively. They didn't play any other sport. They just played baseball, and they did so year-round, and I see it working. I know exactly what you're talking about. Let me ask you, you also added 7-time All-Star and 2-time World Series champ Aroldis Chapman to the team in the offseason, and this is a guy who made his Major League debut back in 2010, yet Derek, still nasty, still filthy. He got ejected last night after giving up the go-ahead double. I mean, obviously a vet knows how far he can verbally push things with an ump. What went down last night in that regard?
Yeah, I just think he probably went. I mean, he was frustrated, you know, and like you said, he has been a great addition to us and a great addition to our bullpen because he has won World Series rings, and that's really important for our group. I think last night a little bit of frustration boiled over in, you know, maybe a magic word or two too much. And, you know, veteran guys know where they can go, and sometimes, you know, there's a fine line, and I think he crossed it a little bit last night and obviously got ejected.
We're talking to Derek Shelton for another moment or so. So, Derek, when you look at the divisions, like the Dodgers, the Braves, they've dominated the NL West and the NL East respectively, but it's more parity, of course, in the NL Central in recent years. How does the Central look to you this year, top to bottom?
It looks very, very consistent, and I think you see that with the start that people are off to. There's a lot of young, good players in the National League Central. I mean, if you look up and look what the Reds have and what the Brewers have, I mean, there's some exciting young players. And then obviously the Cardinals have that core group of veterans that they have. So it's one of those things where I think there's a ton of parity in our division. I mean, you've seen everybody get off to good starts, and you know, it's going to be a little bit of a dogfight because of the fact that none of us have really played each other. We have played nobody in our division yet. So we play the Brewers next week. It'll be the first time. And then I think once we get in the division, we're really going to find out how it fares.
Yeah, man, it's fun. I like that division. I think it's really interesting. So one last thought. How challenging is it? Part of the job is to develop players on the major league level, but at the same time win right now. How do you go about approaching that?
You guys still got to teach. I think the one thing that we've learned is guys are getting to the big leagues faster, not just in Pittsburgh, but everywhere. And part of the development is going to happen here. And we're in that really strange period of time where a lot of players that would have been in A-ball during the COVID year that was missed, that they're coming to the big leagues. So they missed an entire year of development. And then they had the second year of development that was cut short a little bit because of the schedule. So I think it's more important now than ever because of the fact that the players that came through college, that came through young minor league baseball or low minor league baseball at that time, are getting to the big leagues. We have to continue to teach her, and it's really important that the staff know that.
So I was going to say a quick follow-up, and then I'll let you go. Are they further behind, or is there more catching up to do from the mental aspect of the game or the physical aspect?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think part of it, I would defer to the physical aspect, just more because that's what we can, you know, that's what we can objectively tell you. But mentally, I think, you know, we have to make sure that we continue to get guys to understand what the major leagues is about, because it's extremely hard. And when you get rushed here and you don't have a lot of failures, and your first failure is in the big leagues, it can kind of swallow you up a little bit. So the mental aspect of it is extremely important. It's just a little bit harder to measure.
That's it. He is the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's in his fifth year, and again, they're out quickly. They are 11-6. They're in New York to play the Mets. Derek, appreciate you. Appreciate the relationship, and always good to have you on the show. Skip, thanks so much.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Great talking to you, Derek Shelton. Pirates baseball, good topic. I like talking anything Pittsburgh-related. You know I'm about the Berg. Pirates fans, are you excited? Now, again, a year ago, you got out quickly. You had a big, big month of April, 20-9. He and I spoke during that month last year, and then things leveled out. But a young team, and certainly better for it. Also, as we come to the end of hour number two, I want your reaction to Tony. This guy seems to like him. Hey, Jim, that caller is a tool. Can Tony actually finish a sentence without hyperventilating? Stay away from my town. Mike in Temecula. I thought that he sounded much better. I thought his second call was much improved over his first call. I thought that he was not breathing nearly as heavily. This guy writes, hey, Tony, you were better when you were out of breath and we couldn't understand you. Chad from Orlando. Dear Tony the Tiger in Phoenix, that response was not great. The only place where you are living rent-free is in the basement of the jungle with Paul's dog. The you're not helping him, you're hurting him guy. And OJ resets. Vince in Illinois.
They're great.
D. Cook 406, quote, Tony is not only flaming, he is still breathing hard. By the way, Tony, they think that you are worse today than you were yesterday. More on that when we come back. And the association, stay tuned.
Warning.